put that on the board this morning, verses 1 through 39, Jeff says, man, we should have brought a sack lunch. So I'm just going to do through verse 22. Actually, it was my mistake. I made out the schedule, and Brother Paul actually has the lesson next Sunday on the remaining verses. So anyway, good morning, everyone. Once again this morning, we turn your attention to God's Word, and we're going to look at and discuss this topic, the just shall live by faith. Brother Paul used this topic last week in his lesson when he spoke from verses on chapter 10, 26 through 39. We want to continue this thought as we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through verse 22. You know, Brother Wayne McCamey once said that there is no better way to learn what it means to have faith in God than to study the Bible examples of faith. So that's what we're going to attempt to do this morning. For the reading, we're going to read verses 1 through verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11. There it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the others obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Just as our physical eyesight is the sense that gives us evidence of material things, faith is the sense that gives us evidence in the invisible things, or the spiritual world. Faith has its reasons. The Bible doesn't recommend blind leap of faith. They must be understood spiritually. Faith extends beyond what we learn from our senses. And the writer of Hebrews is saying that it has its reasons. Its tests are not those of the senses, which yield uncertainty. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. There it says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. That last phrase, the just shall live by faith, is quoted in three New Testament books. The Apostle Paul uses it to make his case in Romans 1 in verse 17. There he says, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Then the phrase is used in Paul's argument in Galatians 3 in verse 11. There it says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And finally, we see the Apostle Paul use this phrase in Hebrews 10 in verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. No wonder the writer of Hebrews uses this passage to set up one of New Testament's most memorable chapters, this chapter 11. The great examples of these that are listed all had different circumstances and different personalities, but they all had one thing in common, and that was faith. The Jewish Christians that the writer is speaking to here in chapter 11 were discouraged. They faced pressure from others to drift back into Judaism with the Mosaic Law, the Levitical priesthood, and its animal sacrifices. They needed a great testimony, and so they needed these examples of faith to break them out of their discouragement. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. To begin with this morning, we see the importance of faith as we read Hebrews 11 in verse 6. There it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, we cannot please God without faith. It's impossible. Understand this. Faith means believing that God exists. But true faith means much more. Faith demands that we believe that God rewards those that diligently seek Him. And there are only two options. We are either rewarded or we're punished. So true biblical faith, the faith that justifies, the faith that saves, demands believing that God will not reward everyone, but instead those who diligently seek Him. You can be sure of one thing. As far as getting to heaven, we will not get there by accident. The reward is only extended to those who have knowingly sought to please God. Watch how God shows us how faith looks repeatedly in chapter 11. The writer follows a simple formula or pattern. It's by faith plus the name of the righteous man or woman plus how the righteous man or woman responds or live toward God. Faith at the beginning of man's history. This is where we begin. In verse 4, there it says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Without faith, one cannot worship God acceptably. And imperfect faith generates false worship. If you cannot read how you worship in the Bible, you cannot claim the faith that Abel had. And only this kind of faith saves. Abel gave God what he asked for by faith, a bloody animal sacrifice, while Cain, knowing what God wanted, decided to offer something else. Jesus confirms that faith leads to proper worship in John 4 and verse 24. There it says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Do not think that God will render you righteous if you, like Cain, substitute your worship for New Testament worship. If you worship any other way than what you can read in the New Testament. We read of Enoch's faith in verse 5. There it says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. He pleased God. Enoch was one of the mystery men of the Old Testament. He is mentioned only in Genesis 5, verse 21 through verse 24. As the man who walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch pleased God with godly living, day in and day out. And those who live by faith do not only the Lord's day, but 7 days a week, repenting and confessing sins as they stumble, and they continually ask God for forgiveness. Those who live by faith act with reverential fear on behalf of their family's spiritual welfare. Hebrews 11 and verse 7 speaks of Noah, and Noah was this type of person. There it says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah was warned of something that had never happened before. His faith was shown in not only agreeing that the flood would come, but also that God had told him regarding the flood. He prepared, and he was moved with godly fear. When you ignore the warnings God gives against worldliness and fail to repent, you do not demonstrate this faith that Noah had. When you demonstrate indifference to your children's spiritual welfare by unplanned church attendance, by irregular Bible reading, or infrequent prayer, it does not demonstrate the faith that we're reading about. Real faith will always do something. The book of James repeats this theme over and over again. Next, we read of the faith in the life of Abraham, verses 8 through verse 10. There, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for that city, he waited for the city with foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham did go out in faith, going to a place that God had promised him, but his faith was less than perfect. And this is evident in that Abraham first went halfway to where God had called him, and only eventually obeyed completely. Yet, notice this, thousands and thousands of years later, God didn't mention the delayed obedience. Here, he only mentioned his faith. Abraham lived as a sojourner in the land God had promised, never owning any of it except the plots that he and Sarah had been buried on. A sojourner lives in a certain place, but doesn't have permanent status there. A sojourner is evident among other people. The way they walk, the way they dress, their mannerisms, their entertainment, their citizenship, and their friends all speak their native language and come from their native home. If someone is the same in all these characteristics as the natives, they no longer are sojourners. They are permanent residents. Christians shouldn't live as they are permanent residents upon this planet Earth. We should look. We should act. We shouldn't look, or we shouldn't act, or we shouldn't speak like the people of this world. We look for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, we can do for God with his help what we could not otherwise do. Jesus taught in Matthew 17 and verse 20, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." And Paul wrote in Philippians 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." In the same spirit, in verses 11 and verse 12, it says, "By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, in him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." So Sarah's faith also was not perfect. She first lacked in unbelief, as we read in Genesis 18, verse 9 through verse 15. And then we learn that she lacked in faith in Genesis 21 and verse 26. Faith comes down to believing that God is faithful and will keep his promises. It was this faith that enabled Sarah to receive strength to conceive the seed. God gave the strength, but Sarah received it by faith. And because of the faith, Sarah and Abraham, thousands, even millions of descendants were born. Their faith had an impact on more lives than any could ever imagine. So what did the faith of Abraham and Sarah teach us? Verses 13 through verse 16 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. The promise of the Messiah was made to Abraham and to Sarah, and they believed that promise. Yet, they died having never received it, only seeing it by faith. They saw the promise afar off, willing to look at and consider the promise of God, even though the fulfillment seemed so far away. They were assured of them, carefully considering the promise, assured that the promise was valid because God made the promise. They embraced them, taking the promise and embracing it in faith. Abraham and Sarah probably thought many times a day about the son God promised them, and these many times they embraced the promise. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. Abraham and Sarah always took the promise with the understanding that this world was not their home. They knew God had a better and more enduring home for them in heaven. The just shall live by faith. Abraham's faith was great enough to know God was able to raise the dead and that God was able to keep his promises. Verse 17 through verse 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. This verb tense for offered up, indicates that as far as Abraham was concerned, the sacrifice was complete. In his will and his purpose, he did sacrifice his son. When Abraham was confronted with a promise and a command from God which seemed to contradict each other, he did what we all should do. He obeyed the command and let God take care of the promise. God was more than able to do this. We look at Isaac's faith in verse 20. It says, by faith Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Isaac was really in the flesh and not in faith when he first intended to bless Esau instead of Jacob. He wanted to bless Esau with the birthright for carnal reasons. He liked Esau as a more manly man, and he liked the wild game he brought home. Instead, he should have chosen Jacob, whom God chose. We read of Jacob's faith in verse 21. It says, by faith Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. Jacob led rather a carnal life, yet his faith could also look beyond death, and he blessed each of his sons. Jacob had to lean on top of his staff because he was given a limp many years before when God confronted him at Peniel. This is in Genesis 32, verse 24 through 32. As he leaned on his staff, he remembered that God was great, and he held his future in the future of his descendants, and therefore he worshiped, demonstrating his faith and dependence on God. In Joseph's faith, verse 22, there it says, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Joseph made mention of the departure of the children of Israel, and we read this in Genesis 50 and verse 24, when he said, God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land, of the land of which he swore to Abraham and to Jacob. He knew God's promise was true. References indicate here that When Jacob died, he was never buried. His coffin lay above ground for 400 years or so until it was taken back to Canaan. It was a silent witness all those years that Israel was going back to the promised land just as God had promised. Joseph's faith testified for years after his death. All during that time, when a child of Israel saw Joseph's coffin and asked, why was it there and not buried? They could be answered, both because Joseph did not want to be buried in Egypt, but in the promised land God will one day lead us to. In closing, we have been given more reasons for faith, more reasons to hold to faith than these heroes of faith did. The writer of Hebrews is telling these Christians that if these examples of faith endured through difficulty and discouragement without having received the promises, then we who have received the promise have even more reason for endurance. Faith means clinging to the hope that God will eventually triumph. He will come back to earth in judgment to reward those who have sought after him. And so, we obey. We do God's bidding even when submission is hard. It is the response of obedience that qualifies the characters in chapter 11 as people of great faith. Those who do not have faith cannot see the spiritual world past the physical world that's around them. They are limited by their temporal circumstances and are blind to what God is doing. But those who open their spiritual eyes can see the spiritual realities which go beyond this world. The just shall live by faith. If there is one that is subject to the gospel call this morning, we bid you come as we stand and sing.